This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Welcome to another game day version of the Cards Cast. I'm Cardinal Authority Senior Writer Michael McCammon, joined by publisher Jody Demling. Louisville back on the road, back to a neutral site venue, another NFL venue, Lucas Oil Stadium up in Indianapolis, where the Cardinals will take on Indiana for just the third time ever. Louisville, a 10-point favorite. And Jody, you know, I think coming into this game, if you look at them on paper, game three looks like it's going to be the toughest test for Louisville thus far in this young season.
Oh, yeah. I don't think there's any question about it. I think that Indiana is better than Boston College. I mean, Georgia Tech was. They're better than we'll see next week at Boston College. I don't think there is quite as good as NC State, but NC State and Indiana, very comparable to me, I think, in as far as offensive talent. I just don't know. The thing about Indiana is that Ohio State game is going to be – we're not going to be able to tell – is that a really good game for them until 2 or 3 weeks down the road? Because how good is Ohio State? That's the whole thing to me. If Ohio State is really good, then that is a really good game for Indiana. If Ohio State isn't as good this year offensively, like some people think they're not, then maybe it's not the best game for IU, but still pretty solid. This is going to take a big test from Louisville. It's going to take a really good offensive game plan, and it's going to take the defense playing without playing a quarter like they did at Georgia Tech. Because if you play a quarter like that at Georgia Tech against Indiana, you're not going to win this game.
Yeah, to me, this is kind of for both programs, kind of a prove-it game. You know, where Louisville has looked, you know, pretty solid. Obviously, there's been some struggles with Jack Plummer being on time, throwing it in their feet, but he looks like he's making the improvements, and as he gets more comfortable, but it's really hard to gauge much off of the Murray State win. Defense looks solid. Can it perform similarly against another Power 5 team that seemingly has a few more weapons than both, obviously, Murray State and Georgia Tech? So I think the defense, it will have their hands full a little bit. I'm curious to see what kind of a scheme they come up with to kind of keep Indiana guessing. But on the flip side, Indiana's going to do the same thing. I mean, they've got a defense they're pretty proud about. I mean, that's kind of what Tom Allen hangs his hat on at IU. And so far, you know, they look like they're up to the challenge. Now, I'm curious to see how they're going to do with Louisville's multiple playmakers. Obviously, everybody knows about Juwar Jordan and Jamari Thrash, but I think Louisville's playmakers extend beyond that. And I think that's probably going to prove the difference as the game wears on. I'm also curious to see, you know, if IU or the U of L defense can step up and make a huge play in themselves, which I think will probably be the difference whether this game is Louisville beats the point spread or it's closer than the point spread, which again, it currently sits at 10.
Yeah. I think it's going to be a game that comes down. You know, when you really look back, Jeff Brohm has had good success against Indiana over the course of his time. But really, if you take a deep dive into those games, they were all pretty good games. I think even last year when they beat them pretty good, they were down 7-3 at the half. Purdue was. So they were all good games going into halftime and coming out into the third quarter, and then his teams kind of have pulled away in the end, but maybe a little closer than what you thought. Jalen Lucas is a really good dynamic running back for Indiana. He's fast. He's shifty. He's going to be a problem for the Louisville defense. They're going to have to contain him. And I'm interested in Taven Jackson. Look, they don't have a passing touchdown yet in two games, but it's not like they haven't had the opportunity. They had one that was dropped, and they had one that was just overthrown a little bit that would have been touchdowns. Jackson is 19 of 26 for 260 yards. He's now the starter. I do think we'll see Brendan Sorsby some at some point or another. in this game. But, you know, offensively, Louisville has got to do a better job than they did against Georgia Tech, and they've got to control the run and keep keep Lucas in check in the running game.
Yeah, we're going to hear a little bit more from IU, kind of get more of their perspective here in a few minutes. I'm going to bring on Matt Weaver, a guy that does a great job covering IU football for Pigs.com on the 247 Sports Network. But, you know, going up to Lucas Oil Stadium, you know, I'm curious as what the environment's going to be like. Obviously, a lot of Louisville fans have already headed up that way. They're going to spend the night up in Indianapolis, enjoy the day, and a lot more are going to head up Saturday morning. That's when I'm going to be taking off, and I suspect it's going to be a caravan of red and black heading up to Naptown. But obviously, IU is going to be well represented as well, being right in the middle of the Hoosier State. So I think it's going to be a fun environment. Louisville obviously won the last time they were in the Lucas Oil Stadium, beating Jeff Brohm's Purdue team. So hopefully the Louisville winning tradition continues at Lucas Oil.
I think this game is going to be much like that game, Michael. I really do. I look at this game and think of it a lot like I think of that one. I think that you look at remember that game was a buzz because it was Louisville against Brohm. This game, you obviously have the buzz. I just think that the game is going to be a close, tight game. I've got Louisville winning, but I've got Louisville not covering the spread. And I think that I wouldn't be shocked. I wouldn't be shocked in a number of different ways, because I think this game could go a lot of different ways and the way it plays out. But I do think Louisville is going to put through the effort, and I think we'll see a very good and solid game from them. I'm interested to see, Michael, what happens with some of the guys. You know, last year, look, we had our freshman report up. 10 of the 16 freshmen have played already this year as far as scholarship guys. How many of those guys get some reps, you know, moving forward? How many of those guys this week will see time out there? I really don't know. I don't think they want to play a lot of young guys. And I think last week, the Murray State game was obviously an anomaly because it was such a wild and crazy lopsided game. You were able to get all those guys in. But I think we see with a rotation, and I think they stick with that rotation. And I do think, I think we'll see some of those injured players back, you know, Maurice Turner, you know, and Josh Minkins, I think will be back. We'll be interested to see Jaden Thompson. Do we get to see him at all in the next week or two? He's the wide receiver from Cincinnati. Would give him another body there. And I think Mason Riger's probably closer to coming back than anybody else, which would give them another guy to rotate up front and a guy that they really feel good about. So I think there's a lot of intrigue in this game.
Yeah. I'm also curious about the freshmen. We heard Jeff Brohm talk about, you know, the importance of their four games, and, you know, it sounded like he likes to prepare those newcomers as the season progresses. And that way, if you need them in the last three, four games of the season, all of a sudden they're ready. They're more veteran-like, and they can play without burning their red shirt. So I am curious to see how that's going to continue to evolve throughout the season. And you're right. If you can get these injured veterans back, especially, you know, I think it's safety, having Josh Minkins back certainly helps the depth there against an Indiana offense that they've got a couple of receiver weapons as well. So I believe the secondary will get tested as well. Like you, I have Louisville winning, but I have them under the spread. Wouldn't surprise me if they beat the spread with ease. But I think this is a prove-it game where, you know, Louisville's showing some things offensively. They're showing some things defensively. Yeah, but we saw the ugly quarter at Georgia Tech. I don't know how much you really want to take away from Murray State. So I'm ready to see Louisville come out and prove it. And I think even if they don't beat the spread, they can have a very positive outcome, a win. As long as you just want to see them come out, bring down those penalties. You want to see Jack Plummer be a little more sharp in his passing. And if the defense continues the way they have been, would like to see a little more pressure on the quarterback, certainly. I think it's a game where Louisville on both sides of the ball can come out and prove it. Okay, this is who we are. We do plan on, you know, competing for the ACC, and getting to 3-0 will certainly be a feather in their cap as the ACC schedule really ramps up after that.
Yep. And without further ado, you've got a great special guest, Michael.
Yeah, let's bring on Matt Weaver from Pigs.com. Kind of get the perspective from the IU's side of things.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Picture that super soft t-shirt you love sleeping in. The one that gets softer and softer the more you wear it. Now you can bring that same lived-in softness to your entire bed with Signature Vintage Wash Sheets from Boll & Branch. This all-new collection is even softer than your favorite t-shirt, with a distinctly relaxed look and feel for your best night's sleep. Just like all Boll & Branch bedding, Signature Vintage Wash Sheets start with the highest quality, 100% organic cotton. The lived-in feel comes from a small batch washing process, creating a level of softness you've never felt before. And it's not just the feel. Boll & Branch mastered the laid-back aesthetic using a special technique that creates the well-loved look you'll find with vintage jeans. And true to the Boll & Branch hallmark, Signature Vintage Wash Sheets get softer and softer with every wash. Right now, you can get 15% off your first order with promo code ODYSSEY and save on their most relaxing sheets. So head to BollAndBranch.com today. That's B-O-L-L and Branch.com.
Excited to be joined by our next guest, Matt Weaver from Pigs.com. Does a great job covering Indiana football for Pigs over on the 247 Sports Network. Appreciate you taking some time with us, Matt.
No problem. Thanks for having me.
So Louisville, Indiana, this Saturday noon, Lucas Oil Stadium up in Indianapolis. Should be a great environment, obviously an easy trip for Louisville fans, obviously right in the smack middle of Hoosier country. So it should be a fun environment for the teams. And when I think of Indiana football, there's three things right now that are jumping out to me as far as the storylines. One is always, Tom Allen's defense. Two, he just named a starting quarterback in Tavon Jackson. And then three is Jalen Lucas. I mean, he seems like he's just kind of a guy that can be a headache for almost anybody. Let's start with Tavon, since that's kind of like the headline this week coming into the game, gets the nod as a starting quarterback. Your thoughts on him through two games so far?
Well, I mean, the Ohio State game, obviously nothing on the offense went well. They scored 3 points. I think they had like 150 yards of offense. It was a very conservative game plan. I honestly compared it to almost like a spring game game where you're it's real vanilla. You're not really trying. It's almost like they weren't trying to show a lot. You hate to say they weren't trying to win the game, but it's almost like they were just trying to keep it, kind of as a game plan to keep it close and competitive. And, it was 10-3 at halftime. Obviously, Indiana State was a complete 180. Which you would expect. I mean, it's the FCS opponent, and I think he finished 18 out of 21 for 200 and some yards, 20 touchdowns, but that's because the running game was actually working pretty good. I think they rushed for like 5 touchdowns. I've seen him obviously in 2 games, haven't in practice, really have not seen a whole lot just because saw him in the spring more, but in fall camp, we get booted out of practice. Halfway through, so we don't get to see much. We don't get to see any team stuff, and they shut practice down about 2.5 weeks into fall camp. So, but he throws the ball well. I saw him in high school, a number of times. He's from the south side of Indy, Center Grove, the Greenwood area. Won back-to-back state titles there. He can throw the ball. He's a good athlete. I think he would prefer to stay in the pocket and throw, but he can get out and run. Sorsby's probably a little bit of the better runner at his down in Texas. He seemed to run the ball more, but they're young. They're both young, and Taven's young. He's inexperienced, but there's obviously talent. I know rankings sometimes don't always mean everything, but he was obviously a highly rated guy coming out of high school. So I think he throws it pretty good. I just think the biggest thing is, what I've heard is just consistency during fall camp. I think it's one reason why they couldn't pick a starter. One day, one guy would look pretty good, and the other guy would kind of struggle, and then the next day it would flip-flop. It was kind of roller coaster, up and down a lot. And it's interesting that they kind of – it's almost like fall camp continued for 2 weeks into the season at quarterback. These 2 weeks were still a competition. So I thought he would end up winning the job. Maybe it's because he's the higher-rated guy, and he's the in-state guy, and he's the name player. He's traces. I'm not saying that's why they picked him, but maybe that's why I kind of leaned that way. But I just think he's a little bit better at this stage. And it'll be interesting to see how he does against, an opponent that's more on Indiana. I mean, obviously, you played one opponent way above Indiana, one pretty much below. I think Louisville probably, from a talent perspective, is pretty similar to an Indiana. And it'll be interesting to see how he does, because this is a big game. This is a big game for IU.
Do you think it kind of, do you think it puts a period on the competition, or do you think that might continue if he struggles? Does he need to look over his shoulder?
Well, Tom Allen's always will say, you know, that's our starter. That's who we're going with. But obviously, if he doesn't play well, I mean, if he really struggles, then I think the leash is shorter than it would be if you had a more experienced guy. And here's the other factor, not for this week, so it doesn't really, but Dexter Williams is probably going to be back in a few weeks. And he, at the end of last year, he obviously, you know, he had a really big game against Michigan State when they went up there and won, and he was playing great against Purdue when he hurt his knee. And so that's another factor. That's obviously down the road. That's not a factor for this week. But I think, you know, I told somebody, I don't think one guy is going to start all 12 games this year for Indiana. And obviously that's been the case, but I think, you know, I don't think, I'm not saying Taven won't start the next 10 games, but I won't be at all surprised if there's other guys, you know, somebody else starts, whether it be Sorsby or Dexter Williams at some point. So I think he's the guy, but I do think since, you know, he's so inexperienced and there's no track record, you know, like I said, the leash is a little bit shorter than it would be for an older guy.
Of course, Jalen Lucas, I mean, what a great weapon for the offense there in Indiana. Obviously, running back, but, you know, he's great at catching the ball. Obviously, he's in the return in both kick and punt return games as well. I mean, his speed is unbelievable. What have you seen from him that makes him such a difference maker?
Well, you know, there's been guys, you know, obviously, like, you know, Indiana had Tevin Coleman a number of years ago, and Tevin was incredibly fast, like a low 4.4, maybe even a 4.3 guy. But Tevin, it didn't have a ton of wiggle. He was kind of a one, you know, put his foot in the ground, one cut and get upfield. Jalen Lucas is unique in that he's got exceptional speed and quickness. So he's got wiggle, and a lot of times it's tough to find that guys having that both. So, you know, that's, you know, I think it's one thing that makes him so, you know, he can make guys miss in small spaces, and obviously he can outrun them. He's not very big, so that's the one concern is, you know, how many, you know, you don't want him to get a hit too many times. I think he's about 180 pounds soaking wet. But he is, you know, when you watch him from the press box or from the stands or on TV, he looks fast. Well, staying on the sideline during spring ball, he ran by me, and you're just like, wow. I mean, it's like he is easily the most dynamic guy on the IU team. And, you know, obviously at some places they've got four or five of those guys. At Indiana, they've got one. But he's something else. And you know, last year he was phenomenal as a kick returner. They didn't give him the ball near enough on offense. They're trying to do that more this year. Like to see him give it a little bit more out on the perimeter. There's been quite a few runs in between the tackles, which to me is, you know, I get it. You want to run him some up the middle because he can make guys miss, but I want to get him out in the perimeter as much as I've been. They talk about using him as slot receiver. So far, that's not really come to fruition. He practiced at slot some in fall, even though he's listed as running back. They had him at both. That's not really. Now, maybe as they go forward, maybe that'll be a bigger part of the offense. But I think he, you know, one-on-one, he's pretty much impossible to get down.
Yeah, Louisville's got one of those speedsters themselves, and Jawar Jordan, the guy that's, you know, actually leading the country right now in an average yards per carry because he's broken a few big runs for touchdown. He's going to obviously be, I think, face his stiffest challenge. The whole Louisville offense is going to face their stiffest challenge through three games in Indiana. I think what you guys are coming out, I think maybe 57th nationally in total defense, but, you know, exceptional against the pass thus far, doing quite well against the run. What should Louisville expect, guys like Jawar Jordan and then obviously quarterback Jack Plummer, and what he should expect? Because it looks like IU likes to kind of, you know, bring a lot of pressure and gets to the backfield quite a bit.
Yeah, they've got a new play caller this year, Matt Guerrieri. He's a guy that was at Ohio State last year as, I don't know, one of those roles, like consultant or quality control. One of those guys that's not really on the field. Before that, he was a DC at Duke for David Cutcliffe for a number of years. Really bright guy, young guy. Kind of reminds me of Kane Womack, who was here a few years ago and did a great job. But, you know, it was after the Ohio State game, one of their 247 guys, we were riding the elevator up to the press box after after the post-game stuff. And he mentioned that they were impressed with the, you know, just how the stuff that Indiana did defensively to kind of confuse Ohio State. I think the biggest thing for Indiana's defense is this, the one position that's really hard for Indiana, a school like Indiana, to recruit is D-line. I mean, there's just not a whole lot of those guys around, and most of the good ones go to Ohio State or Michigan or, you know, name the big-time school, and they really did a good job. Andre Carter is a beast. I mean, he's really good. I'm not sure how Western Michigan is able to keep him for 5 years because he's a legit player. I think he's a next-level guy. Marcus Burris, the guy from Texas A&M, was highly rated out of high school, went to A&M, I think, for a year or two. And they got him in. Linnell Carr from West Virginia, Anthony Jones from Oregon. They've got some good guys. who just they haven't had before, length and athleticism and physicality. So front, I thought they did a good job in the portal, and it's so far in two games it's shown up. They did a good job against Ohio State. Ohio State was pretty complimentary of their D-line and their defense. The biggest question was the secondary. I mean, the top five corners for IU last year, basically they had five guys that saw time at corner. Every single one of them was gone.
Yeah,
I mean, they literally started over from scratch at corner. I mean, there's some guys back, some freshmen, but they basically didn't play. So all the guys that are playing are pretty much brand new. Safety's almost the same. There's a couple guys back, but it's about – so the secondary is almost completely turned over. And there was a lot of question marks. And so far they played pretty well. Now, you know, I know they're going to get a test this week, especially against the Jeff Brohm offense. I know Louisville's got some guys, some speed out there on the perimeter, and they've got some playmakers. So, I mean, you know, they faced Ohio State and Marvin Harrison Jr. and those guys. But still, it's – They're gonna be tested. I mean, you know, Jeff Brohm's a phenomenal play caller. He does a great job of getting his guys in the right places. So this is gonna be a good test for this secondary and this defense. But you know, I think it starts up front. They need to, and not that in Jeff Brohm's past, he needs to have a great running game to be successful. But I think you need to put them in as many second long, third longs as possible, and then hopefully you can get after Plummer and maybe get him, you know, get him on the ground or get him to make some mistakes.
Again, we're joined by Matt Weaver from Pegs.com. To check them over at Pegs.com for continuing pregame coverage for Louisville versus Indiana. And I agree with you, Matt. I think if they can get Louisville in long down positions, because that's one area where Louisville has struggled offensively, even though the numbers look okay on paper, you know, Jack hasn't been the most efficient or the most on-point quarterback through two games this year. And I think if IU can put Louisville in those second and third and long situations, it certainly works well in their favor. I mean, when you look at the numbers, like you said, the secondary looks like they're performing well. How much of is because, you know, Indiana State last week, or were you equally impressed during the Ohio State game?
Well, they did a good job against Ohio State. I mean, I think Marvin Harrison had a couple catches. And you know, listen, Ohio State was, you know, they've got three new O-linemen. They got a new quarterback. And obviously, he was a stud in high school. But there was going to be some kinks. I said all along, it's not ideal to open with Ohio State, but if you're gonna play them anytime this season, I think the first game's the best time, just because new quarterback, new play caller on offense, even though Ryan Day obviously I'm sure still heavily involved, three new linemen, a center and two tackles. So, you know, there was gonna be some kinks. There were gonna be some, you know, things they had to iron out. So I think that probably played a part. But you know, I think, you know, obviously Indiana State's different. I mean, a lot of that was just Indiana was just more talented. You know what I mean? They were just better. Indiana State's number one quarterback from last year is still out. He's missed the first couple games. So they kind of played two guys. But I do think this secondary has done a good job. I think they've got some guys back there that were, you know, good players out of high school. They just went somewhere. They went somewhere for whatever reason. It didn't work out. And they came to Indiana and so far. But I think the biggest thing that's helped the secondary is you've got a front that is getting the quarterback to move around, getting him off his, you know, where he wants to be to throw the ball, getting some pressure on him. And then, you know, they're having to blitz some, you know, I mean, they can't just rush four all the time, but they can do it more often than not. In the past, they had always had to blitz. Now, I think they've got four guys that they can put out there. A lot of times they can get pressure on their own. But to me, that's the biggest thing. I mean, Kevin Wilson always used to say it when he was here, it's not how long my DB can cover. It's how long it takes my defensive end to get to that quarterback. That's what it takes. That's how long you've got to shut down a passing game. And I think he's right. If your front guys can do their job, it makes secondary guys look a whole lot better.
Yeah. And, you know, and I think Indiana and Louisville are kind of entering this game similar. I mean, Indiana has the loss to Ohio State and Louisville beat Georgia Tech, and Georgia Tech certainly isn't Ohio State, but I think their path and what they've discovered about their teams thus far and kind of have the throwaway game from last week, Louisville with Murray State, IU with Indiana State. So to me, I think this is kind of more of a prove it game for both programs. Louisville currently, I think last time I saw this morning, still a 10-point favorite. I think that's to me, that seems a little big at this point because I still think they're a prove-it team. I do like Louisville's chances of going up there and getting a win, but I do think it's going to be a pretty close battle as both teams, you know, try to, you know, show who they are.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, you know, to me, this is a big game for Indiana. You know, I don't want to call it a must-win because we're in the third week of the season, but when you're in the Big Ten East and you still got games against Michigan and Penn State, and you got to play Wisconsin in a crossover game, and obviously an improved Illinois program over the last couple of years under Brett Bielema. I mean, it's tough. I mean, Maryland's not going to be easy. There's really no easy games. I mean, some games are probably a little bit, you know, more winnable than others, but, you know, this is, you know, when you're in Indiana and you have those three games on your schedule, Ohio State, Michigan, Penn State, you're almost to the point where you have to get 6 wins in 9 games. You're starting the year 0-3. I mean, you hate to say it, but it's just kind of where you're at, because there's just the talent level is so different. The disparity is so big. So, you know, if they lose this game, can they still make a bowl? Sure they can, but the road's a lot harder. You're going to have to probably steal something on the road in the Big Ten, which is never easy. So I think this is a really big game for Indiana. Obviously, it's going to be a big game for Louisville. But it's for Indiana. I think this is a game where we're going to find out what the mindset of this team is, because I think they really need to come out and punch Louisville in the face and, you know, see if they can maybe jump on them and maybe, you know, not win going away, but get them down and see if, you know, they can, you know, steal one, quite honestly.
Like I said, a prove it game for both programs. Hey, appreciate your time, Matt.
Oh, no problem. Thanks for having me.
Again, thank you to Matt Weaver from Pigs.com hanging out with us, giving us a little insight on what to expect from Indiana Hoosiers today on game day. It should be a great game, great atmosphere at Lucas Oil Stadium. Really looking forward to being in the building, seeing all the Cardinal fans in there. Louisville, again, a 10-point favorite. Plenty of pregame coverage at Cardinal Authority. And, of course, we'll have live game updates on the homepage at Cardinal Authority throughout the game. And, of course, plenty of stuff after the game with reaction, interviews, video, and so much more. For Jody Demling, I'm Michael McCammon. This has been a Games Day Cardscast.
If you want to win your fantasy football league, it starts right now. The offseason is the best time to get ahead of the competition. We'll help you win your league on the Fantasy Football Today podcast, part of CBS Sports Podcast Network. Fantasy Football Today has 3 episodes every week following the latest news, giving you early rankings, early sleepers, breakouts, and busts. So if you're a dedicated fantasy football manager, check out the most dedicated podcast, Fantasy Football Today. Download and follow on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and anywhere podcasts are found.